Father, as we gather today, we realize the importance of these words. And it is precisely because we do not really live these words that we encounter many of the difficulties that we encounter along the way and that we suffer so much grief. So, Lord, I just pray today that even though I guess it could be said that we already know these things, Lord, that you would just impress on our hearts again that we've got to really start doing this, because in days like the ones we live in today, again, nominal faith in your word will not cut it. And it will only be a true and real trusting you for every part of life, every single day, in every situation, regardless of the outer circumstances or what is happening in the world. That is the only kind of faith that is going to get us through in times like these, and furthermore, that will stand as a witness to your faithfulness to an unbelieving world. So, Lord, you said that we are light, you said we are salt, and I believe that a lot of that begins with our own unfettered, uninhibited, unhindered trust of you. Build our trust in you, we pray, and use your word to do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Also from this same message, as Jesus concludes his teaching, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And having the foundation on the rock, Jesus says, is doing what he says. Actually doing it, actually living it day by day. And we do live in very, very turbulent times. And so again, these are not days for nominal belief. These are not days for just church attendance. I paid my dues to the Lord and now I'm going to go out and live the rest of my life, you know, pretty much like the rest of the world during the week. And if somebody did walk up to you right now and said, what is your worry factor? Scale of 1 to 10, like they do in the hospital. What is your worry factor right now? What is your discontent factor right now? Anyway, little questions like that can tell us a whole lot about ourselves and can tell us whether we're trusting. And you know that I'm always saying it. Some people claim they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I think that is doable in many cases. But my dad always said you can't sing, that is actually sing and mouth the words and whistle at the same time. You cannot do the two things at the same time, and you cannot trust and worry at the same time either. And so one will displace the other, and whichever one is active, that's the one that's going to kind of be calling the shots. And we, to some degree, we do write our own ticket in some of these things, because we do predict our own outcomes many times, but not by the things that happen to us, but by our reactions and by the attitudes that we assume in the midst of what is happening to us. We may not have any control over what happens to us, but we do have control of how we react. Amen? And for a Christian, our reaction needs to be that reaction which is in keeping with the Word of God. And if it isn't, then we read also a week or so ago, whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And so even as a believer, if we don't practice the thing that the Lord says, we don't trust when these things happen, then we're going to reap whatever you reap from worry and doubt and those things. So I thought it would bear. I just have a feeling that with the world situation, are things getting crazy or is it just me? It's like the whole world is going crazy at the same time. I was thinking about it again the other day. Here we are with all this technology and everything, and yet I've never seen the world crazier and closer to coming totally unglued than right now. And that should tell us something right there. And it's because we are trusting in our technology and we are trusting in our political philosophies, and we are trusting in those things instead of trusting in the unchangeable Word of God. And so it's time for true believers to, you know, and that is one thing that trouble will do. It will separate, as they used to say, the men from the boys. It will separate those that are just nominal believers and church attenders from the people that really believe this stuff. Do you really believe it?
Yeah.
We teach, you know, God's Word, and Awana is based on God's Word, and these children are hiding God's Word in her heart, and they're memorizing. And I hope with all of my heart that they're not only just memorizing it, but that because of the work of the Holy Spirit and because of the example that they see in people like you and me, that they will actually believe it with all of their hearts. Because anything less than that, they're not going to really live it. And Jesus says, if you're not really living it, you may know it, you may hear it. If you're not really living it, you're building your house on the sand. And when the storm comes, your house will fall because it does not have a foundation. And so it is time for us, but I was getting ready to say, with the world as crazy it is, I just get the feeling that in the next decade, if Jesus tarries that long, you and I and all of us here today are probably going to have a lot of opportunities to trust God. And I just hope that we're ready. And now is the time to be ready. You're going to start trusting God? There's no better time than right now. Weight loss, no better time than right now. Stop smoking, no better time than right now. And for trusting God, no better time than right now. Now, Jesus, sometimes I like to dissect it just a little bit, you know, as I read a passage. And I noticed that in this passage we just finished reading, Jesus has four don'ts, four do's, and two can'ts. So let's take a real quick look at those. This is Jesus. Four don'ts. You're a child of God. You're not supposed to do this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, I haven't seen it personally, but some of you may have seen it. I've heard about a TV show that's on right now about people that are hoarders, that hoard stuff. How many have seen that show? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures. Now, on that case, you may debate whether they're really treasures. But in God's sight, pure gold isn't worth any more than that junk those people are accumulating. Yeah. It's just stuff. We can use it. We can invest it in the kingdom of God. Does that mean we shouldn't have a retirement fund? No, I don't think it means that. But it does mean that our emphasis should not be on accumulating stuff. I used to see a bumper sticker that says, whoever dies or whatever with the most toys wins. Have you anybody besides me seen that bumper sticker? Whoever dies with the most toys wins. God says, whoever dies with the most toys is the biggest loser. And that is an absolute fact. So plan a little bit, you know, have a little safety net there, whatever. But as Christians, our emphasis is not on accumulating stuff. It is on seeking first the kingdom of God, which is how this passage ends. Because the bottom line, the punchline is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be what? Added to you. They'll be the bonus, but they will not be the primary focus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Number two, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Now, come on. How many here? Is there anybody bold enough to raise your hand and say, I've never worried about that stuff ever in my life? I've never worried about paying the next bill. I've never worried about putting food on the table. I've never worried about, you know, sure we do. And Jesus knew that. And that's why He told us that. But He says don't. He says don't. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then further down, just in case we didn't get it the first time. You ever repeated something to somebody? Or have you said, read my lips? This is kind of what Jesus is doing here. Number three, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Don't do it. And here's the big one. Woo! Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about
tomorrow.
For tomorrow will worry about itself. That's another way of saying, don't cross bridges before you come to them. I told somebody this very week. I said, I believe in crossing my bridges when I get to them, not before. And I really believe that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, four do's. Do store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Well, there's a number of ways we do that. We do that basically just living for the Lord and doing what He told us to do. I read one place where Jesus said, if you give somebody a cup of cold water because they're a disciple and you do it out of Christian love and you do it for the Lord and out of love for Him, it says you will in no wise miss your reward for that cup of cold water you gave. So, Investing the material in the work of God. That's probably the primary way. But service, because time is a commodity, right? Energy is a commodity. So when you reach out and you actually do wash somebody's feet or paint their living room if they can or clean their gutters if they can or anything you do, if you do it not to be seen or noticed, but you do it as unto the Lord, and you do it out of love for the Lord Himself and for His people and all of that. Those are ways that we lay up treasures in heaven. And that's where He says, because this here, I tell you what, you may be bragging on yourself and saying, hey, I'm getting 16% right now. I doubt if many people are right this minute. But even if you were, how long is that going to last? 40 years? 60 years? 20 years? 2 years? And then it's going to be all over. So wouldn't it be terrible to die with all that stuff, and then when you get up there, you didn't send anything ahead? That would be terrible. Jesus says, do store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then on the worry side, He says, look at the birds of the air. Now, is He saying we should all become bird watchers? Not in that sense. He's not saying... He's just saying, watch them. When He says, look at them, He means watch them. We have them coming to our yard. Do you have birds coming to your yard? When they come into that yard, are they just standing there or are they busy? They're usually pecking away, right? I think sometimes they're pecking away at worms. How many here besides me have ever seen a robin pull a nice, long, juicy worm out of the... Huh? And I tell people, hey, you got to work. The Lord feeds the robin, but He still has to go out and look for the worm, doesn't He? If he don't leave his nest, he doesn't eat. But the Lord does provide, and it's there, or little seeds, or whatever it may be. We have a bird feeder out back. It had lain dormant. We have 6 cats, and I think the birds were afraid of the cats, and for the 4 or 5 months there, we didn't have any birds. And then they rediscovered that feeder a couple weeks ago, and Barbara said that one feeder emptied in just about one day. But they're out there. But He says, watch them, because He says they don't sow, they don't reap, and they don't put stuff in barns, and yet the Lord feeds them every day. So learn something from that. Learn something from that. And then look at the lilies. See how the lilies of the field grow. And then He says, now they don't work, they don't toil, they don't labor, they don't sow, they don't weave, they don't do any of that. And yet He said, Solomon himself in all his glory was never dressed as fancy as one of these little flowers. Anybody order from Pro Flowers? You know, the one that you always hear advertised on the radio now over the internet. Those Pro Flowers are so wonderful. They say that they're guaranteed to last, you know how long? A whole week. A whole week. And that's supposed to be... But he says, hey, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And yet look how God dresses them up. If God gives that much attention to detail to something that's just sprouting, it's going to be around a few days for somebody's enjoyment, and then it's going to wither and disappear. He says, you are worth so much more. And then, of course, the big one. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. God's things and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, folks, these are times to make seeking the things of the Lord our top priority and to trust God for the rest of it. Amen? Now, there's two camps, and they're related. Number one, no one can serve two masters. You can't have two bosses. You can only have one boss. For you're going to gravitate to one and neglect the other, whatever. And then the punchline is, you cannot serve both God and, in the King James it says, mammon, which is the Greek word. You cannot serve God and money. And the NIV has chosen here to capitalize the M in money. How many have known somebody that you thought that money was pretty close to being their God? But we need to really be careful when we examine our hearts, because it isn't always just money. It's the things money can purchase. It may be the house. It may be the car. It may be the big screen TV. It may be the latest iPhone. Am I getting where you live yet? And that's, you know, you can't serve. I would almost rephrase this. You can't serve God and things, because we're in a consumer society today. Can't do it. And if those things become our masters, we're going to be working almost around the clock for them, right while life passes us by, right while we neglect our families, right while our families are falling apart under our noses, right while our health is being impaired because we've worked one too many weeks, 7 days in a row. There is such a thing as providing and being diligent, which the Bible praises and actually says we should do. But there is such a thing as making things such a major part in our lives that we get out of balance. Amen? So who are we really serving? So the answer is, who does really have priority here? Well, whoever we're giving the best of our time and effort to, I would say probably has the priority. All right. Now, just so we can differentiate a little bit here, if I'm really trusting God, there's a few things I won't be doing. So let's just look at those real quick. If I'm really trusting God, and by the way, believing in God, believing He exists, believing that He can do, that's not the same as trusting. Trusting means I actually am trusting the Lord for today's crisis and for today's situation. That's what trusting God is. If I'm really trusting God, number one, I'm not worrying. So stop right there. I'm worrying. Having trouble falling asleep. I'm worrying. You're not trusting. Number two, I'm not fretting. I'm not walking around complaining and mumbling to myself and all that. If I'm really trusting God, number three, I'm not blaming. Well, if you'd just go out and get a second job, then maybe we could make ends meet. If that boss down there wasn't so whatever, maybe we could pay the bills. If we're trusting, we're not blaming. Number four, if we're trusting, we're not panicking. Number five, if we're trusting, we're not denying or ignoring. Some people think if they deny there's even a problem, or if they just ignore it and pretend it isn't there, that it'll go away. Now, let me ask you, a lot of you here are as old as I am and know as much as I do, and a lot of you know a whole lot more than what I do. But does denying something or ignoring it really make it go away? How about cancer? How about a thyroid problem? Does denying it or ignoring it? How about a problem, mechanical problem with your car? Does denying it or ignoring it make it go away? And yet we do that very thing. Number six, if I'm really trusting, I'm not trying to force a solution or solve things purely on my own. And for the doers among us, that's a tough one, because you want to fix everything. And you figure there's got to be some kind of a solution. You're not necessarily worrying, but you're laying there awake at night figuring out how you can fix it and how you can solve it, instead of entrusting it to the hands of God Almighty and asking Him to show you what to do. Yes. And number seven, if I'm really trusting, I'm not compensating through self-indulgence. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how we get all bogged down and we can't pay the bills and this and that, but there's a certain little rush that comes from going out and putting something on that credit card, because after all, I deserve a little joy in life. So let me go out and buy a new little vehicle, or let me go out and buy a little, a new gadget, or a new this, or some new living room furniture or something, and it makes me feel good for about 2 weeks until those bills start hitting again, and then it's worse than it was before. But do we do that? We do it. And none of that is trusting. If I'm really trusting God, I am doing the following things. I am doing the common sense things. How many have ever heard of D.L. Moody? One of the greatest evangelists that ever lived, Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, where our oldest son attended for 4 years. There's a story about D.L. Moody. Said he was on an ocean liner. In those days, ocean liners were the way you traveled. I think that was before air travel. And there was a fire on the ship, and they formed a chain, and a bunch of people were passing water buckets and everything and trying to put out the fire. And one of the fellows there said, "Brother Moody, let's go over here and pray." And D.L. Moody said, "No, let's stand right here and pass buckets and pray." So if I'm trusting, it doesn't mean I just stand there while my house burns down. I do the common sense things. But the common sense things. Number two, if I'm really trusting God, I'm putting my situation to continual prayer. Why is it that we wait until we're totally desperate, until we finally really make it a matter of prayer? I'll never figure that one out. And yet we do it. I'm putting my situation in continual prayer. I'm putting it before the one who can really do something about it and who really does know about it. Number three, if I'm really trusting God, I am seeking God's direction. I tell you what, God can give you direction. God knows about science. He knows about biology. He knows about physics. He knows about physical law. He even knows about the law of gravity. Who made it? He knows it all. So don't think, well, this is a practical matter. The Lord couldn't help me with that. Say what? Don't insult the Almighty. And if I'm really trusting, I'm seeking His direction. Number four, if I'm really trusting God, I'm waiting for God's timing. And that may be one of the hardest things to do, because we really do. Well, a lot of times we just like, well, I just feel so helpless. I just feel like I need to do something. What if it isn't His timing? So be very careful as you seek the Lord. I don't mean drag your feet. And if the Lord's telling you to do, then you need to act right away. But don't be taking matters in your own hand before it's time. Because when you do that, have you found out that when you do that, you only make it worse? So I'm waiting for God's timing. And if I'm really trusting God, I am standing on God's promises and confessing His word. Martin Luther was a great one for this. And there was a time when there were some important talks going on between his group and the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, and he couldn't be there, and he was locked away in a castle, and all during that time he was taking scripture verses and literally writing them on the walls of the castle and claiming the Word of God. Listen, it doesn't really take root until you start claiming it. Because that is where it's applied, and that's when it comes alive and begins to accomplish. It says, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. And if I'm really trusting God, I am agreeing with my fellow believers for the answer. Have you ever asked somebody to pray with you about a matter? That is entirely legitimate. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, what did he say? There I am in the midst of them. And he said, if two of you shall agree concerning something you want to ask, and you agree together, it'll be done. So there's nothing wrong, because that way there's two of us trusting instead of just one. And there's nothing wrong with asking for prayer and agreeing with your fellow believers. And maybe most of all, if I'm really trusting God, I am thanking God at every step for His faithfulness. Every step for His faithfulness, because He is faithful. In his book, Mama Was a Missionary, the guy, I don't know, it was Charles Ludwig. Anyway, it was Ludwig. And they had a bad harvest over there in Africa, and his parents were missionaries, and his mama had planted some corn and all of that, and she wouldn't sell it, and people were telling you need to sell it because the bugs are going to eat it all and everything. And they had a little, I think it was a hand-operated record player with a song, God is Still on the Throne. Anybody ever heard that song? God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh His own. And so she'd say, get that out and play it. I want to hear it one more time. This went on for months. And then all of a sudden something happened. The price of corn went through the ceiling. And she sold that corn for like three times more than what the normal market value was. But the whole time that was going on, everybody else was thinking in the flesh. And she was trusting God. So, there are those that the Lord puts among us, you know. Now, is this an area we can grow in? This is an area we can grow in. Even if you've been serving the Lord a long time, is this an area we can grow in? And that's the wonderful news. The news is, it's an area we need to grow in, and it is an area that we can grow in. All we have to do. So where is the best place to start? Well, what's the biggest thing you're dealing with right now?
That's where you start. Start trusting God.
Does this mean that while we're trusting God, we'll never cry? Does this mean that while we're trusting God, we'll never hurt? Does this mean we'll never question a little bit, perhaps? But listen, we just got to keep right on trusting Him. Amen? Because He is faithful, and He will come through. And there's never been a time when trusting God is probably going to be make a bigger difference than right now in the kinds of times that we're living in. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that You are true
and that your word is true, and it's a real foundation, and it's something it'll hold us up. It really is a concrete foundation, just like that song, "Standing on the Promises of Christ My King Through Eternal Ages, Let His Praises Ring." Lord, we will stand on your promises, and help us as your people, not just to believe that you're God, not just to believe that you did certain things in the past, but to get it right down to the right here and now and begin to trust you. We may not have the solution. We may not know how it's going to work out. It may seem to be so helpless and so hopeless, but Lord, as we put it in your hand, as we believe you, as we claim your promises, you will come through for your people. And if we need to get a couple more people around us to believe and trust with us, then so be it, because that's one reason you made it a church instead of just each of us individually doing our own thing in our own homes, so that we could be an encouragement to one another. Lord, teach us to trust. And as we do that, not only will our faith grow, oh, but you will be glorified. And you will be glorified in so many ways. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of trusting you. Guide us, we pray, in this area, and help us to grow. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.